This is the On the Pony Express podcast,
part of the On3 Network.
Check out all the SMU coverage you need at ontheponyexpress.com. Now, here's your host, Billy Embody.
Billy Embody.
1, 2, 3, let's go.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the On the Pony Express podcast. I'm Billy Embody. Thanks for listening. It is Sunday evening, recording this right now, so if anything happens late night, I can't be held responsible for it, but this podcast is coming at you guys Monday morning to kick off your week, and we've got a lot of transfer commitments for SMU to run down over the last week, and it's been a busy one for SMU, and now in the dead period with the coaches convention in Charlotte going on, which is where I am at doing a little networking. But for SMU, they have completely revamped their defense over the last week or so. A couple key offensive additions, which we've talked about as well and covered kind of their recruitments at ontheponyexpress.com. And we're going to get into all of that on this podcast. But I do want to tell you guys that we are presented by our friends at Northwest Insurance Agency. Give Mark Viasana a call, 214-352-5656. He will help you out. Check your coverage, check your rates, see if you are getting the right bang for your buck in today's day and age of insurance rates being out of control. And he can help you out in the state of Texas in particular. He's an SMU alum. So even if he can't end up giving you a better rate or giving you better coverage or improving your situation, he's an SMU football fan. He's an SMU fan in general. He was at the basketball game on Sunday. He'll chop it up with you about the Mustangs. So reach out to him. Give him a call, 214-352-5656, or email him, markv@nwagencies.com. So SMU, like I said, did get rolling in the transfer portal. We talked about DeMarge Lewis, Eric Kaler earlier to kick off last week, and from there things took off, and we were breaking down kind of what happened over the course of the coming days with Chasen Johnson, and Tyler Van Dyke had just wrapped up his visit. Well, let's rewind all the way to early last week, where SMU got a big piece to the puzzle to help protect Kevin Jennings, and we'll kind of break him down a little bit. This is the lone offensive addition that we're really going to touch on this podcast, but Zion Nelson committed to SMU, or the second one of two offensive additions that we're going to talk about on this podcast. But Zion Nelson, a big man at 6'6", about 320 or so, was committed now to SMU, started 32 games over the course of his career with Miami. And this is a really interesting decision for SMU to bring in Zion Nelson, and a couple reasons why. He has battled injuries the last couple years, but you go back to his freshman season when he was blocking for one De'Arik King at left tackle and ended up then protecting Tyler Van Dyke after that. And he would be a key member of Miami through the 2021 season, and then injuries hit. And over the course of that time, he's had rehabilitation, surgeries, things like that to try and get him ready to go and fix his knee. And it unfortunately hadn't worked well. SMU's been doing a lot of research behind the scenes on this. Obviously, they have familiarity with Rhett Lashley and much of the staff, Darren Justice, not to mention De'Arik King, of course, being his former teammate, being in contact with him about his process. And he's worked through a lot of this in terms of finding a way to give himself a better shot and change where his trajectory is going in terms of getting healthy and getting back on the field. And so for Zion Nelson, they were able to get him on board. And this is somebody who I think it's a boom or bust take, right? And going into the spring, you didn't want to run off an Andrew Chamblee, a PJ Williams. You just signed Dramod Odoms, who's going to be here this summer. You have some depth at that offensive tackle position. But what you needed is you needed to create a little bit more competition at that left tackle spot. And in particular, you know, battling with Savion Byrd, battling with Andrew Chamblee, because it's just such an unknown. And guys like Abdul Carter, guys like TJ Parker can make a lot of people look foolish at the offensive line position. So that is something that is not new. But what you can't have is your overall season be sunk because of a guy like, you know, Abdul Carter kind of wrecking it and ruining your offensive game plan. And that's nothing to say it's all Savion Byrd or whatever, but you have to look at positions and try to upgrade them. Same thing. You look back at SMU's running back room before last year, and they said, you know what, we'll take a Breshard Smith. And they took him because they needed to upgrade the return man position. You know, that was something that SMU really struggled with in 2023. And they bring him in for that reason. And they say, let's try him at running back. And it pans out and it hits. And when you look at this portal cycle, and I know I'm hammering this, but from schools like Ole Miss and other big spenders relative to the market, they're still having to play some of this money ball approach when it comes to taking transfers and seeing guys that could or could not work out for them if they were healthy, if they were in a better situation than they were. And Zion Nelson is now a prime example of that for SMU, because he is somebody that was among the highest regarded offensive linemen in the country and for NFL draft scouts kind of in that 2021 season. And then injuries kind of derailed his career, unfortunately. So they know him. They know the type of character he is. They know what he can bring to the table. So for SMU to bring him in for his final year of eligibility was, I think, a really smart move, because you needed to find a way to bring in competition with somebody that you trust. And if what SMU is hearing about his health is on the mark, then that's great. Then you're going to see a guy who could very well be an all-conference type performer. But if you get him in the spring and things aren't working out, then you also have the spring window. But at this point, for that spring window, or for the portal as it stood right now, there wasn't that no-brainer type of player that they could get. You know, Howard Sampson was a guy that visited SMU, ends up going to Texas Tech. He was a starter at left tackle for North Carolina, and he gets an absolute glorious bag. So what are you going to do there? And that's just one of those things where you have to kind of pick your spots if you're SMU when it comes to who you're going to go after and who you're going to get. So I think this is a smart decision for SMU. If it pans out, the coaching staff's going to look really smart. And that's kind of sometimes what you have to do in this situation when it comes to getting players that could maybe help you get a little bit more value rather than spending a bunch of money, like, quite frankly, they did on Andrew Chamblee in the portal, and he gets hurt. And now he's got another year to, you know, an offseason now to truly step up and figure that out. But with Zion Nelson, this is a low risk, low NIL situation, and they know what they're generally getting with him. So that is a literally big pickup for SMU, about 6'5", 6'6", 320 pounds, who can really shore things up on the offensive line. And speaking of shoring things up, this is a move that on paper you'll look at and say, what the heck is SMU doing taking a quarterback when they've got Kevin Jennings, who just signed a new NIL deal, coming back? Well, Tyler Van Dyke commits to SMU after stints at Wisconsin and Miami. And this is another example of a player that trusts Rhett Lashley, trusts De'Arik King, who was his one-time teammate, trusts a lot of the coaches he's been around. And Tyler Van Dyke can now come to SMU and take his time recovering. I believe he has 1 year left. He might have multiple, but at the very minimum, he has 1 year left. And if he's not ready for the 2025 season because he tore his ACL against Alabama a few games in to his 2024 season with Wisconsin, then he can take the rest of the year recovering, and he can then go into 2026. And if Kevin Jennings has a huge year and does leave for the NFL draft, which, look, this is today's day and age, you got to plan for things like this. So I give Rhett Lashley and staff kudos for doing this. But then he can come in and be in the system, back in Rhett Lashley's system for another year. And then in 2026, he can compete with a Keldrick Luster. He can compete with a Ty Hawkins. He can compete with a Tyler Aronson. Those guys that are going to be in this room, he can do all those things. And you know he's been productive. I mean, over the course of his career, in 2021, he threw for 2,900 yards, 25 touchdowns, six picks while under Rhett Lashley. And he stepped in for De'Eriq King when he got hurt and was able to be really productive. So, and he was, you know, off to a decent start at Wisconsin this season before getting hurt again against Alabama. So, you know, you feel for him, you feel for a guy who's been so highly thought of at one point in his career and then is now at a point where he's looking for a spot where you got to have a ton of trust in the coaches. You have to recognize, wow, this is it for me. This is my last chance to make my situation the best it can be. And I met him at the SMU Duke game. He was there watching it with De'Eriq King. And what a super guy SMU's bringing into the quarterback room. And if you look at him, I mean, he's listed 6'4", 225. He is a big man and looks the part of a guy that, I mean, truthfully, at this point, his age, he should be in the NFL. And so he's got some size to him. And this is not a play in 2025 or a necessarily compete with Kevin Jennings in 2025. This is just not. And it's more of a really, really solid insurance policy if the portal strikes and SMU loses somebody at the position and they need another piece. It is an injury away if you're Kevin Jennings to needing at some point another quarterback, whether it be Keldrick Luster, whether it be Tyler Van Dyke. That's what competition is for there. These guys in this room at SMU, they really respect each other. They've really been in a good situation over the last few years. And credit to Rhett Lashley for basically managing all of that. You know, whether he was here as the offensive coordinator, starting that culture, and then you get into him coming back, and it's just been a really good situation. So Tyler Van Dyke did commit, and on paper, people are probably like, what the heck is going on here? But in reality, you can never have enough good quarterbacks on your roster, and SMU has played multiple every single season. So you've got to, you know, recognize that if you're the SMU coaching staff, and know that, okay, we might need to call upon a quarterback at some point, and they're not expecting it or hoping that it's 2025. They're hoping this is a, wow, Kevin Jennings had an unbelievable 2025 campaign and he needs to go to the NFL. And so let's have Tyler Van Dyke compete with the guys that we've got, because we trust him, we know him, and we know what he is when he's really healthy. So a really just smart pickup for the coaching staff, and we'll see where it goes from here. When it comes to the offense, I would say they are pretty much done overall, unless somebody else enters the portal. But one player they're still after is Anthony Evans, the Georgia wide receiver transfer, who's originally from Converse, Texas, played at Judson High. And he is down to probably SMU and Mississippi State. From what we gather, Michigan's been poking around, but we're told that he is done taking visits. And that is after SMU and Mississippi State have both hosted him. And this is a situation where you're either going to go play in the SEC, and that's what you want, and you're going to go into an air raid offense under Jeff Levy or some version of the air raid, and you're looking to still be on the biggest stage or be the guy, whereas at SMU, you can come in with 2 years of eligibility and be in an instant impact type role in an offense that'll do a bunch of different things with you. And you can also play close to home. So two very different pitches. And I'm not even sure if Anthony Evans has a ton of ties to the Mississippi State staff, but he had 9 catches for 88 yards, 3 rushing attempts for 50 yards. This is not a Breshard Smith type. This would be more of the Roger Daniels type of pickup if SMU can get him across the finish line. But he is really, really fast. I mean, he has, I think, like 10.27 speed. I mean, unbelievable world-class speed. Just didn't put it together at Georgia. I mean, what Georgia wide receiver really did over the last year or two, but that's a different discussion. Anthony Evans is somebody that SMU at this point would like to bring in. They do love Dalen Singleton, but it is also a lot to push all your chips in to the unproven true freshman. And at the slot position that's been so versatile and been so key for this offense with guys like Roger Daniels and Jake Bailey, they need somebody to step in and be good. So Anthony Evans is somebody that if you look at kind of his recruitment, I mean, it would be it would take NIL. Nobody comes for free anymore. But you're not looking at somebody who was like an Eric Singleton who's ending up at Auburn, and he is the number one player at the wide receiver position, at least in my opinion. I don't know what the rankings are right now, but commanding seven figures. You know, this is not what this would be. This would be a let's make it make sense, and if it does, then great. And we'll come to an agreement, basically. I mean, that's the day and age of college football. And so Anthony Evans, really electric player. He has not put it all together yet, but SMU needs a veteran guy, just, you know, a little insurance. So if it works out, great. If not, they will look to the spring portal at this position if they feel like a Dalen Singleton maybe isn't there. They are relying on Dalen Singleton to be that dude. And I mean, if you watch the All-American Bowl, even Jalen Cooper could really be a guy out of the slot when you look at him. If they can try him there with his speed and his route running, maybe the four-star wide receiver and All-American can make it happen for SMU. So that slot position is really just kind of up in the air. SMU's looking to kind of hedge their bet, and Anthony Evans is the guy we're still watching very closely when it comes to that spot. So with that, guys, we're going to flip over to the defensive side of the ball now. But before we do that, want to send you guys a note from our friends at the Thomas Auto Group.
Shopping for a new car, truck, or SUV? Look no further than the Thomas Auto Group. Browse our selection of over 2,000 vehicles from three great brands.
Watch this!
All online and in a few simple steps. Just click on the vehicle you want, save big on the most popular brands, and drive away happy. Plus, all vehicles sold are backed by the Thomas Promise. Visit our website, thomasautogroup.com, or shop in-store at the Thomas Auto Group in McKinney, home of the Thomas Promise.
Brandon Thomas, SMU alum. If you guys go up 75 to McKinney and check out their dealerships, whether it's pre-owned or new, and mention on the Pony Express, you'll get employee pricing. So, heck of a deal. Check them out. We appreciate their sponsorship of the On the Pony Express podcast. All right, this is where it gets fun. And of course, I wanted to go with the heavy hitters on the defensive line and get everybody all riled up, but I decided to go in chronological order of when everyone committed. And this is where, and I know it's such a cop-out to say, hey guys, patience, right? Like, just let it play out. You know, I'll judge this class come January 20-something. When SMU's ad drop date is, and I'll let you know then kind of how I feel, or, whenever the portal is done, and the last guys have, you know, can't go in anymore, that's when we'll really know. Well, guess what? It took a minute. This year's portal class was very different. Last year, you give SMU complete kudos for, you know, prioritizing getting this 2024 roster ready for the ACC. By the way, that bet worked out. And this year, you look at how they approached this defensive line position that with this portal window is among the most wild and outrageous, I would say, in terms of market value versus what you're getting. And they decided that at certain points over the course of the last month, that they weren't going to completely sacrifice their locker room, sacrifice their culture, and sacrifice also what they've paid a lot of returning players. That's lost in all this is SMU's retention so far, and players they want to keep has been A1 outstanding. But what they weren't going to do is they weren't going to create a defensive line of true mercenaries. And whether you want to believe that or not when it comes to adding the transfers that they have, the reality is you've found a group that wants to be here, that for some of them have multiple years, which is huge. And yeah, they're going to get paid to do it, but they're not going to be $750,000 a pop, which is outrageous for who some of these guys might be. And so we know that to kick off last week's podcast, we talked about DeMarge Lewis. We talked about Eric Taylor, two depth pieces that if they hit, great. I mean, that you're talking guys like that you wouldn't necessarily expect to be a starter, and then they end up being a starter, and you're like, okay, cool, that is awesome. And both of them have multiple years left. So in theory, if they pan out, you would have depth, and or maybe they develop. Because for one, Eric Taylor, I think he could end up being like 28 years old when his college career is done, something like that, 27. But when you look at those guys, you've got your depth handled for the next couple of years. And you have Jonathan Jefferson back. And then what SMU did is they went out and got two other guys that can absolutely make your defense in the middle better. And let's start with the first one, and that's Jeffrey Emba. And I'm actually going to look up his Purdue profile here to try and see if I need to change that pronunciation. But Jeffrey Emba is a former number one overall junior college prospect. And if you followed at on theponyexpress.com, again, subscribe for just $1 for your first week. It's a fantastic time to be on the board right now, I'll say, especially now that defensive line is handled for the most part. But what SMU was able to do to beat out Auburn was unbelievable. And he's originally from France, so, you know, shout out Junior Aho if he's listening. But ended up going JUCO, ended up being the number one overall junior college prospect, starts out his career at Auburn in 2022, and then spends one season there. Doesn't really work out, played in 10 games, made two tackles and a sack and forced a fumble, nothing crazy. And he went up to Purdue, played in all 12 games, 16 tackles, two tackles for loss, had a sack, and you know, just made an impact. And then this year on this bad Purdue team, made 30 tackles, a tackle for loss, and that was it. 6'6", 300 pounds. It just has not necessarily panned out. And whether you could say he went to Auburn and Auburn was in transition and it didn't work out, whether it was Purdue and Purdue really didn't work out, this is the guy that has ready-made NFL type size. And if Calvin Thibodeau for the second straight year takes a guy like him, who's just been kind of a regular contributor, nothing special, and turns him into a beast like a Tank Booker, or like a Jonathan Jefferson, or some of the guys that you know, Jared Harrison Hunt was already a solid starter at Miami. But if he can get the most out of this guy, look out. SMU's defensive line is once again going to be among the best in the entire country. So you get Jeffrey Emba. He has 1 year left by my count. And so that puts him, you know, one and done. So him and Jonathan Jefferson out the door. I would think he's probably your starter with Jonathan Jefferson, if depending on how it all works out. That's just me. But you get him, and SMU was able to just fend off Auburn in such a way that, look, I've covered the SEC for a while too now, coming up on close to a decade there in a way. And when Auburn is confident and then they don't get him, that is something that you don't really get enough credit for if you're a coaching staff when it comes to nabbing a guy like that. And that's exactly what they were able to do. You know, Auburn pretty much thought they had a silent commitment, and, you know, SMU, from what I understand, kept working on him, kept trying to get him to keep thinking about his decision. And, you know, from Rhett Lashley and Scott Simons and Calvin Thibodeau and Scott Natty and so many others, they were able to, and in particular, I mean, I heard that Scott Natty was great with this, but you know how Scott Natty in particular can sell Dallas, can sell the dream, and Junior Aho, and look what he's doing, and getting some pro time and bouncing around the league for having gone to SMU at a different point too. But you look at Emba opting to not sign with Auburn while on his visit, which is a huge red flag if you're a coaching staff, by the way. That would at least make you feel uneasy. And despite, you know, giving commitment quotes or whatever, which, you know, Auburn reporters are lucky enough, they get to hang out on campus and they got commitment quotes. So that's another piece to the puzzle. But they were able to keep working on him. And, you know, time went by and eventually he pops for SMU and just signed with the Mustangs. And they were able to get him across the finish line. So a massive recruiting battle, and SMU, you know, that's the theme this week, is beating out SEC schools for top tier players. So this was a huge pickup. Everybody would have been happy with just him, but they were able to get more on the defensive line, which we'll close out with in just a few minutes. But let's go to another player that SMU was after, and really just, you know, this is kind of I think circling the overall I'm trying to think of the way to say this, but fulfilling the prophecy of Rocket Rahimi. He goes by Rocket, his name's Robert, and he's a former Liberty transfer, and SMU had him committed, and kind of some off the field things pop up, and he sits out the 2023 season. Then he goes to San Jose State as a bounce back, basically, and balls out, was all Mountain West second team, and now enters the portal. Now he's going for his true final shot, and he's got 1 year left from what I understand. And I mean, he had a huge year out there for San Jose State. He had 82 tackles, 47 solo, 5 picks, 5 pass breakups, and a sack. And in 2022, when he was at Liberty, he had 5 interceptions. And so SMU knows him really well, and he's going to play safety for the Mustangs. This is a massive pickup. This now gives you, and remember, this is where SMU checks so many boxes well. You don't know what you're going to get when it comes to the defensive line. You can't count on anything in the portal. And Scott Simons, Ricky Hundley, to get Rocket to come to a safety room that has Isaiah Wachovia, Ahmad Moses, Jaden Milner-Jones, you just signed LaModrick Spencer, you have a bunch of young freshmen, you've got some other vets that are hanging around, big deal. Big deal, because he had some SEC schools that were on him, looking at him. And to go ahead and get him and say, yes, come on, that's big time. And you know what you're going to get from a culture perspective. And Rocket plays with emotion. And I think SMU being able to manage that, and this coaching staff having that experience with him, is going to be important. And he's going to bring kind of that fieriness that I think Brandon Crosley brought, and that SMU is going to miss. So you now have 3 safeties. SMU rotated 3 last year with great results at that position, of the back and the free and the strong. And then you have nickel, where SMU can do a bunch of different things there. You can play LaModrick Spencer, you could play Jaden Milner-Jones, maybe you could play Ahmad Moses, maybe you can do a bunch of things at that position. So this is a great pickup. It was something that I kind of thought was going to happen at some point. If they could get him, it would just be a matter of, you know, an SEC school was going to say, hey, we really want you. Let's pay you and let's, you know, not make it a question. But kudos to Rocket. He turned all that down in a sense to end up going to SMU, where he's going to be factoring in his final year of eligibility, playing in a Power 4 program. So big time move for Rocket. Before we round things out on this podcast, do want to remind you guys to check out our friends at AKM Turf and Greens, akmturfandgreens.com. Email them info@akmturfandgreens.com to get your backyard looked at and check out and see what they can do for you from a turf perspective. They do pavers, they do rocks, they do all the different things to create the backyard of your dreams. And mention on the Pony Express or code Pony Up for $500 off your project today. So Alex Carpenter and his entire team will help you out. They're big Mustang fans, and they do a wonderful job on your backyards. All right, so the fun wasn't over just yet, and SMU got 2 massive additions to round out the week. And on the PonyExpress.com, subscribers were just overjoyed over these. And Marcellus Barnes, the Syracuse transfer, former 4-star blue chip prospect, who ended up being a, I think, top 200 overall prospect, He ends up going from committing to Georgia to signing with Syracuse, where Fran Brown went, and SMU just kept after him. You know, Ricky Hundley knew him for a while and was able to get him to commit, and just massive, massive news for SMU to get him on board. And that gives you a player in the secondary now at the cornerback position that you can look at and say, okay, long-term, basically 4 years to play three seasons, maybe somehow gets a waiver down the line to get that fourth season back. And he played in five games, but he was injured all season long, or not all season. He played in five games as a true freshman in 2024, had 11 tackles, three pass breakups. And he only allowed three receptions for 37 yards as a true freshman this year over those five games. This is where now you have Marcellus Barnes, you have Deuce Harmon, you have Jalen Davis Robinson, you have Speedy Nettles, you have AJ Davis. You have so many options at corner of returning players, as well as Alex Rogers. And then you bring in Javion Holliday and Vay Gentry, and Lamondre Spencer plays nickel or could play nickel and all that. But this is where SMU really landed a big fish here. They beat out Kentucky, and Kentucky was expecting him to come in this weekend. And he ended up just dialing up Ricky Hundley and saying, you know what, I'm good. And really, outside of some ties with some former teammates and 7-on-7 friends, SMU was, you know, considered the heavy favorite in this one. So Marcellus Barnes commits to SMU. This is a guy that I've heard he's an absolute rock star, kind of like, I don't want to say Jonathan McGill because he's so young. Like, I don't want to say he is Jonathan McGill because Jonathan McGill was a captain at Stanford, did all those things, but kind of Jonathan McGill vibes, like on and off the field. So really impressive player that SMU gets in the cornerback room and really shored that up. So I know I glossed over that, but he doesn't have as long of a career as some of these other guys, but this was just a straight up recruiting win for SMU. And he was in the portal very early, but kind of had a bunch of SEC interest and wanted to take those visits, and then kind of settled into the portal, kind of figured out what it was about, and kind of circled back around with SMU. And he does have, I'm not sure exactly what his injury is, but I would imagine some schools looked at his injuries and maybe were like, eh. But SMU, again, has known him a while, knows his camp, and felt really comfortable with it. So this is a great pickup for SMU beating out Kentucky. He was expected to visit there, but SMU goes ahead and gets him on board. So, man, so much winning for SMU this week in the transfer portal. And last, but certainly not least, at least as of the time of this recording, Terry Webb, the Texas State defensive line transfer, commits to SMU over South Carolina, Houston, Auburn, and others. And mind you, Auburn was going to have him visit and then canceled it because they thought they were getting Jeffrey Embaugh. And SMU swoops in and gets Jeffrey Embaugh. And then Terry Webb is left at the altar on this one. But Auburn is left at the altar in this case. And, you know, they recruited him for a long time. I mean, they were after him and he was set to visit, but they just thought they had Jeffrey Embaugh. So we'll constitute that as a win over Auburn too. But 6'3", 315 pounds. He's really squatty in that sense. Played in all 13 games, 10 starts in 2024, 19 tackles, 3.5 tackles for loss, 2 sacks, a quarterback hurry. And he played for former SMU defensive lineman Mike O'Gwynn. So a good tie there for SMU's coaching staff to maybe, you know, have a little bit of a familiarity there with another transfer portal target. And they get Terry Webb on board. And now you have some big, strong guys in the middle. He's got 2 years left of eligibility after going to Kilgore College to start off his career. But this is now, when you look at Terry Webb, Jeffrey Embaugh, DeMarge Lewis, Eric Taylor, Trey Wilson at defensive end, maybe could play a light defensive tackle, and then Deshaun Warner at the edge spot. I mean, this defensive line room and the edge position are completely revamped. So it is a lot of fun if you're SMU right now to be looking at your transfer portal class and sitting 17th last I checked, and to get Terry Webb and beat out South Carolina, who got the last visit, who got the last opportunity to impress them. You've just got to give this staff so much praise for how they managed this. They did not overexert their NIL to satisfy a position that needed addressing, but they didn't sit there and say, you know what, okay, we've got to do this, and it's got to be done by the time we leave for college, for state college, or it's got to be done, you know, right around that time. You know, if they would have done it that way, it would have been a position where, I mean, they could have taken one guy. If they just said, all right, spend it all, we need it, we just need a bird in the hand. No, they were really patient. They played this the right way, and you just got to give them a bunch of praise for that. So with that, guys, we ran down everything that's going on with the transfer portal. We'll cover what's next, depth chart previews, position outlooks, things like that in the coming weeks. We're going to start that on Monday. So if you're listening to this podcast, look for those at ontheponyexpress.com, because at this point, there's Anthony Evans. And then at least as of right now with who's in the portal, I think it's pretty quiet for SMU, but the portal's not closed officially. So for some schools, so keep an eye on that. Again, another reason why to join up at ontheponyexpress.com. Check us out for just $1. We'll cover it all. We'll start getting you ready. And then look, the thing is there's a spring portal window where if SMU goes through spring ball and goes through spring workouts, they can look at this situation and say, you know what? We don't like it. We're gonna make a move here. So before we go, guys, I want to remind you guys that we are also presented by our friends at Status Jet, statusjet.com. Reach out to them today. Mention on theponyexpress.com. Get a discount on a round-trip flight with code PONYUPACC. And David Henry and his entire team will hook you up with a discount and the most stellar way to get to and from wherever your destination is. So we know that spring break is in a couple months. There's some great golf tournaments. The PGA started to heat up, or maybe you're taking the trip of a life to like the Super Bowl. Well, they can help you out and plan all of that. So reach out to Status Jet today and use our discount by mentioning on the Pony Express or code PONYUPACC. We appreciate all of you guys for listening, watching, and supporting us at ontheponyexpress.com. Please subscribe to the site and check us out, and hope you guys enjoy all the content that's been going on. And we'll be back later this week with another edition of the On the Pony Express podcast.
Thanks for listening to the On the Pony Express podcast with Billy Embody.
Follow us on your socials on X at SMU on 3 and on Instagram at On3SMU.
And keep it locked to OnThePonyExpress.com for more coverage.